you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever.
There are former Trump fans all over the internet who are burning their Make America Great hats, which is very scary because it means they've discovered fire.
It has to do with the fact that in the Soviet Union, if you want to buy an automobile, there is a 10-year wait.
We have constructed a governmental welfare scheme, which has been a machine for producing poor people.
I asked you about Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election.
I think that all government is a waste of taxpayer money.
Hello, and welcome to the Daily Circus Podcast. This is Zed, and I am joined by relocated New York City homeless man, Red.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to New Jersey. Isn't it wonderful here? I'm so thankful that our illustrious mayor deported me here into the wonderful five-star resort casino town of this place that I live, New Jersey.
How much did it cost you to call New Jersey nice?
Yeah, I'm on the payroll of the mob here. They collect money, but they also give money. So I'm on the receiving end of some of that money. Isn't it great to be in New Jersey?
Yeah. Okay. So let's just jump right into it tonight. Our first story tonight, Newark, New Jersey files lawsuit against Bill de Blasio for homeless relocation project. So this is absolutely amazing. How do you get homeless people to leave New York City and go to New Jersey? You pay them to do so. And apparently that is exactly what the de Blasio administration has been doing. And now Newark, New Jersey, upset about the sudden influx of homeless population, is suing the de Blasio administration for this insane plan that seems to be working.
I don't know what to say about this. This is just a very odd situation. Like, what do you do about it? Because it's open borders, right? So we're not going to close borders between New Jersey and New York. I don't think that it's illegal to pay people to move. And I also don't think that it's really great.
Yeah, no, this is certainly a terrible plan. I mean, I guess it's an ingenious evil plan. I mean, I could see how, you know, the idea is we're going to round up homeless people. We're going to drop them off in New Jersey. And they're not going to have the means to get themselves back from New Jersey into your city. So I could see how it would work. I don't know what you have to pay somebody to move to New Jersey, but I imagine it has to be a great deal. I don't know. I don't think you could pay me enough to move to New Jersey.
You know, I've been there gambling once with a man in a chicken costume, and it's not a nice place. The inside the let's call it palatial estates where they suck bone dry the local citizenry, those places are nice. All right, so it's a nice place to gamble if you go in the place, but then as soon as you leave the place, it's like a 5-star luxury. You're like in a palace, and then you walk 10 feet outside of the palace, and there's like boarded up windows on a store full of booze, and it's just scary. So, it's weird. It's a very weird, weird city. And I wouldn't recommend, there's some nice places. If you live out in the suburbs, I'm sure it's not terrible, but I don't think that's where they're deporting these homeless people. Should we call it deporting? Is that what this is basically what's happening, right? They're deporting the homeless people from New York.
I mean, I don't know what else you call it.
So we're deporting the New York homeless people to New Jersey. This makes zero sense to me because New Jersey is not a good place. Maybe it is a good place for homeless people because there's lots of dereliction. So there's lots of like public spaces that aren't being properly patrolled. Like what about Detroit? That might be a good place. Or Oregon. A commune out there.
I don't know. I feel like if you take them to Oregon, something terrible happens. Seems like every time a bunch of people congregate in Oregon, something bad happens.
Yeah, yeah. Well, every time I took the Oregon Trail, somebody died in a river. So we do not want to repeat that mess. Lots of people go to California that are homeless, though. So I don't know why he didn't try to send it. Maybe because it was too expensive to send them to California. You'd think California is the right place to send homeless people.
Oh, it's got to be. So I'm looking here at this relocation matrix that's in the article. It doesn't, nowhere in the article does it say how much these families were given, but there were 2,226 families that it says were, quote, experiencing homelessness. I bet they
families.
Would
families.
Oh. Yeah, this is entire families experiencing homelessness. No, I bet they describe it differently.
No, that's woke. That's the new woke language. You have to say people experiencing homelessness. It's people first language.
I see. So the largest majority of these were moved to Newark. There's 1,198 moved to Newark, and then the rest of them are kind of spread out throughout the state. And I mean, this is a good plan too, right? Kind of try and sprinkle them in where maybe they won't notice that there's this large influx of people that suddenly don't have homes.
Oh my gosh. This is so literally, I think that is actually not a terrible idea. So there's a handful of reasons why people are homeless. So one of the reasons, is mental instability, mental issues. You've taken a lot of drugs in your life and now your brain is fried and you're not going to be able to come back from it. Or you just have schizophrenia and your brain was just fried, just coming out. That's just the way it is. And there's nothing that we can really do to fix you. Sometimes there are drug cocktails that you can get on and they balance you. One of my friends has a friend that she went to high school with, kind of a weird, quirky person. And then by the time they were 22, were just totally, totally crazy. And on the right drugs, the person is okay. But on the drugs, they realize that they're on drugs and they're, you know, trying to control themselves with drugs. And so they feel like they're being controlled, which they are, and they don't like it. So they stop taking the drugs, they go crazy, and then they're on the street and homeless. And this is like a massive portion of the people who are on the street are just homeless. Some of them it's because of their own choices. Some of them it's just because that's the way it is. But either way, there's nothing they can really do. And sending all of those people to random locations is not going to help anyone. I don't know why they didn't, you know, try to actually solve some of these problems by helping these people with drugs or getting them case officers that they might meet with or social services that could help give them medicine. I don't know. Maybe some church will take them in. I just saw that I was watching The Crown today and the guy that's married to the queen, who's not the king because there is no king. Apparently his mom got totally messed up by apparently Sigmund Freud personally, and then went to a nunnery, a convent, and hung out there. So maybe that's a good idea. We should have convents for some of these people.
You know, maybe they could hold the churches morally hostage and just say, hey, churches, if you don't take care of these people, we're going to send them to New Jersey.
That might work. That's a good idea.
Maybe they could start a Kickstarter or a GoFundMe. Keep these people out of New Jersey.
That's a good idea. We should do that.
It says here in East Orange, New Jersey, New Jersey Advance Media reported that 14 of the families were placed in 8 properties that were illegally rented and never passed local inspections. So that's always great.
Well, you got to think about it. What are our alternatives here? You know, this is just it's like there's no good options. This is always the problem when you talk about the homeless, because it's like, yes, let's help the homeless. How do we do that? Well, we can do nothing and then they live on the street and that's pretty terrible. Or we can confine them against their will in an institution made of cinder blocks. And that's pretty terrible. or apparently what this guy did is put him on buses and shipped him around the state so he didn't have to look at him. And that's just said, super terrible.
Let's take them somewhere that isn't here. So this is a good quote from the article. It says here, quote, "We need to get a judge involved so they can stop shipping people to Newark." These people are the most heartless people in this article, shipping people to Newark as if they're just FedExing them or something. I don't know.
Hey, maybe they are. That's probably cheaper to do it. I honestly, at this point, how are they doing it? Who knows?
Who knows? I mean, they might be sticking them on the subway. I mean, that'd probably be the cheapest and easiest way to do it.
Train cars. What you just said, they put them in derelict, rundown shacks that were condemned or something? Is that basically what you said?
Well, yeah. So if you're talking about the New York subway, then sure. So, I think this definitely brings to light just how bad the homelessness situation is and can be in some cities in America. I think the officials are on the right path of we need to step together and do something to stop it or to at least help these people. I don't think that the idea is should just be let's ship them out of our state.
Oh, gosh, that's literally a TV plot. That's a plot in a TV show.
Yes, terrible. This is how Mr. Burns would solve this problem.
But this is the reverse of this is actually what's happening. So if you look at it from the city's perspective, it's like, well, we're just reversing what happened. Because what happens is people get homeless. People experience homelessness. And then they try to figure out a way to survive. They talk to other people. They network with other homeless people. And they talk about what places are good. And so they try to find places that offer a lot of services. This is like economics 101. It's called the free rider effect. Anytime you offer something for free, more people start using it than what you thought would use it initially. So if tomorrow I went around and I asked everyone if they would want a sucker, like a lollipop, maybe one in 30 people would want one. But as soon as I start offering them for free and I say, hey, by the way, I have all these suckers. Anyone can have one whenever they want. It would quickly jump from 1 in 30 to 2 in 30 to 4 in 30. And then you'd find out that there's like a suckeraholic that lives in like a Winnebago down the street and he's parked in front of your building and he's coming in every day to take 40 of your suckers. And it's just the nature of reality. It's called the free rider effect. It's well known. It's well understood. And that's what's happening here is that these more progressive or liberal cities offer more services to homeless people because they have more money or they have a population that is more willing to provide those services with tax dollars. And so they provide more services for the homeless people. And then the homeless people find out through the network effect of, you know, just talking to each other that, hey, there's apparently a new service in New York where you can X, Y, or Z. And they say, oh, wow, that's great. We've got a lot of money there. We should go to New York. We'll have a much better life. And so in a lot of ways, it's just like immigration, where people try to leave the country they're in to come to a country that has more stuff that's better. And it's, I don't know what you can do, because if you want to help the homeless people with government services, then you offer the government services to the homeless people. What that means is people in areas without government services are going to come to those locations. I think it's one of the reasons, other than maybe just the weather, is why Los Angeles is such a popular spot for homeless people. There's a lot of services. Los Angeles tries really hard to take care of homeless people. And in doing so, they've created this massive free rider effect where there's just tons of homeless people heading to Los Angeles to get a bunch of free stuff because they're homeless. And what would you do if you were in their shoes? I'd probably be in LA.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to be homeless somewhere, I'd at least want it to be warm. I feel like the problem in New York probably stems more from just the insane high cost of living that's there, more than it does homeless services, because it sounds like their homeless service is sending you to New Jersey.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'd need to look at the numbers. But typically, the more liberal a city is, and the more city a city is, the more liberal it is, the more they're willing to dedicate to welfare and social services. So I don't know. Wouldn't surprise me. But it's definitely a way to cut costs.
Well, yeah, that's one way to do it. I mean, and you know what? It's cheaper to keep someone up in New Jersey than it is in New York City, right? So
it's always that. Why would you want to live so far north?
I don't know. I mean, I think I would just say, take me as far south as you're willing to pay for.
Yeah, it's I mean, convents or like communes or something. This is having these people live in these cities is just terrible. This would be like, I mean, I get it. It's a good place if you want to survive, because there's lots of people around that'll help give you money, and there's lots of institutions that'll help take care of you if you get sick, and you're probably right near the hospital. But I think it would be very difficult to go from being homeless to like having a normal life in a big city with these like incredible rents.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't know how you could ever go from being homeless to affording an apartment in New York. I mean, that seems like an insurmountable task. I have a job and I can't go to affording an apartment in New York.
Yeah, that's a, oh man.
All right. So,
well, according to this, New York has one of the lowest rates of homelessness at 4.7% versus California. There's no way that's right. 68%? There's no way that 68% of Californians are homeless.
I bet that's supposed to be 6.8.
It says 68. I mean, California's getting bad. It can't be that bad, though.
Yeah, I think most people still have homes. I don't know. Those wildfires go through there. Maybe it might get up to 68% another couple of summers like it has been.
I'm going to have to do some serious research on this one. If California, there's no way. Could California really have 69% of their population be homeless or unsheltered?
No, there's no way that's true.
All right. Well, it has New York at 4.7%.
We will update you on the next episode of the Daily Circus about what we find, but I am willing to bet that Red is going to find there is a decimal missing.
USnews.com. West Coast states have highest rates of homelessness. I don't know.
Maybe it means they have 68% of the homeless.
Either this is just like a terrible, terrible chart, or California is out of business.
Yeah, well, last time I checked, it wasn't out of business. So I think probably that's wrong. Anyway, let's move on. We are going to have an Epstein Watch update at the end of the show. We know that some of you don't particularly like hanging out for the Epstein Watch. It does get unpleasant always. So it's going to be at the end of the show. If you want to check that out and stay around, feel free to. If not, then you can just fall off after the last topic before then. So next on the show is Campaign 2020 update. Kamala Harris has suspended her campaign due to a lack of financial resources. So, I mean, I expected this. I'm happy to see someone is finally dropping out. It doesn't matter who at this point. I was just ready for some more to leave. I didn't even watch the last debate, because at this point, until they start eliminating some candidates, it's just a waste of everyone's time.
Yeah, well, come on, Kamala, come on. Nobody wanted her to be president, did they?
Well, there were some people that did. The people that...
Confused people.
I think it was mostly the people that forgot that she was very proud of all the people she put in jail for having marijuana.
Yes, well, better in jail than homeless. By the way, I did understand the statistic. It's now that I believe 69% of the homeless people in California are also unsheltered.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a big number, though, to not be sheltered.
Yeah, it is. While 4.7% of New York's homeless are unsheltered. And the numbers are really not that far off. So California has 130,000 homeless. 90,000 are unsheltered, while New York has 90,000 homeless and only 4,000 are unsheltered. So I think New York probably does have a whole lot of services, probably because it's super cold.
Well, you'd have to have shelters in the winter. Otherwise, your streets would be full of bodies.
Right. Yeah, it'd be terrible. So.
All right. So, yeah, Kamala Harris out of the race. It's interesting to me because she's not even the one that's polling the lowest, which.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. She's actually quite ahead of a few. So some of the latest polls, these are some from just this week. You know what? This is just really weird. In all of the polls, Biden just has a huge lead. The lowest poll has him with 6 points ahead. And then it goes all the way up to a poll with him 16 points ahead. It goes
Biden, Sanders, Warren, Buttigieg, right?
In every poll. Yeah.
Now Biden is clearly not going to win the election against Trump, right? Do we agree that that's true?
I don't see any way that Biden beats Trump at this point.
All right. And Sanders is not allowed to get the nomination. Right? Agree that's not going to happen.
The prior election would seem that that is the case.
And you heard that quote from Obama, right?
Obama has a lot of quotes out there. Which one?
All right. Well, I don't want to misquote him, but according to The Hill and Salon, now I don't trust Salon, but The Hill tends to be at least decent. And if The Hill and Salon agree, then that's something. 1 week ago, he said privately that he would speak up to stop Sanders. So that once again goes to the basically this persistent idea that Obama is still connected to the politics that are going on, unlike most presidents that just walk away, that he seems to still have some sway and thinks that he would have some clout and be able to try to stop Bernie Sanders, because apparently he said he would speak up to stop him.
I mean, so, I don't think he has to speak up, right? The DNC will just do it.
Right. It's so ridiculous. Why anyone?
Might we remind everyone about West Virginia when Bernie won the Electoral College vote from West Virginia, but the Electoral College, or not the Electoral College, but they won the chair votes. Bernie won the chair votes at the DNC for West Virginia, but then the West Virginia chair just voted for Hillary anyway.
Yeah, because why not? Because why not? That's the point. That is the point of that electoral process, is to make sure that Bernie Sanders doesn't win. That's why we have it, to keep him out.
So, I don't know. I think Biden is going to go. I mean, according to these polls, he's so far ahead. I don't see anybody closing the gap. Now, of course, this could all change once we get, the 47 candidates that are soaking up the bottom 20% out of the race. So it's pretty consistently Biden, Sanders, Warren, Buttigieg at 27. The average is 27, 16, 14, 11. Then it falls way down. So Bloomberg, who hasn't even formally announced yet, is 4 after that. Then you have Harris. So Harris
just walked on.
Just walked onto the stage. Harris is at 3.4. So that's going to get redistributed. I would have to imagine that goes to Warren, because Harris fans really are not Biden fans.
Oh, man. Harris fans are Law and Order fans, right?
She had that really big rift between her and Biden, though. They kept throwing punches at each other back and forth during the debates. So if anything, they go Buttigieg. or Sanders. I don't see them going to Biden.
I think they're going Biden. I think they're going straight to Biden. I don't think they may have disliked each other, but I don't think the voters will care.
You might be right about that. After Harris is Yang at 2.8, followed closely. Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I think his votes go. I think his votes go to Buttigieg.
Once, Yang. Yeah, him and Warren maybe.
I don't know. I see Yang supporters as more of a Buttigieg crowd, but
maybe Sanders.
I see them as more of the they want somebody younger. But I mean,
but for some reason, Bernie Sanders is young in people's minds. It doesn't make it.
He's young at heart. He just had a new one. So no, he just had a bike.
How is he polling at 16 after he just had a heart attack? That blows my mind.
That man.
Why would you elect somebody that just had a heart attack?
Look at our current president. How has he not had a heart attack?
Who's to say that he hasn't had a heart attack? They just covered it up. Well, you think Trump would? I'm sure it would leak. That place is like a
secret. It would have had to have leaked by now, right?
Nothing is a secret in the White House. Because
I mean, we know about Stormy Daniels. We would know about the 43 heart attacks he's had.
that would be a feat, keeping that covered up.
Yeah, so then you got Klobuchar at 2.4, Booker 1.8, Steyer 1.6, Castro 1.4, Gabbard at 1.0.
Now, Clinton called Gabbard. Was she the one that was a Russian asset?
Clinton has suggested that Tulsi Gabbard is an unknowing Russian asset.
And the Green Party person, right? Jill Stein?
I think Clinton has long accused her of being a Russian asset.
Oh, man. So, yeah, there you go. It's, Yang, Buttigieg and Biden and Warren seem like the most reasonable people. Sanders, I think, is never going to get installed for the reasons we discussed. Bloomberg, I think, is trying to come in and sweep up, assuming that Biden is just going to flame out. I think that was Hillary's move when she was planning to do that, but everyone did not want that to happen. Or maybe she's still waiting in the wings and she's going to swoop in later. But
so here's the interesting thing, though. Who do you think goes to the convention?
I don't know.
I have to think they'll get Biden out before then.
They have to because
he's not going to win. I think they do a switch and replace Biden with Bloomberg.
Yeah. That's the goal.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think that's what's going to happen. I think Bloomberg ends up getting the nod at the convention. That's what I foresee happening.
They can't let Sanders. Okay, so let's just round it up again. Biden, Sanders, Warren, Buttigieg, and Bloomberg. So they can't. And it's really just the first four, Biden, Sanders, Warren, Buttigieg. And they can't let Sanders win. We know that. And they can't let Warren win because Warren, all the bankers would abandon the DNC, and the DNC is heavily supported by places like Goldman Sachs and lots of the hedge funds. And if Warren gets in there, she said so many things about taking down the financial industry. So there's no way that the financial industry is going to let the DNC bring Warren in. If that happens, they'll get totally abandoned. All of the financial sector will go into supporting the Republicans. I know a lot of people probably think they already support the Republicans, but there's lots and lots of financial folks that are social justice warriors, but they also want to make a ton of money. And that's a no-no for Warren and Sanders. So it really is down to Bloomberg taking the reins from Biden or Buttigieg. I don't know about that one. But
yeah, then a lot of the more liberal base is starting to turn on him. So I don't know. He's done.
So what did he do?
He started to take some money. He took some Zuckerberg money. So that, of course, is unpopular. He started to do some billionaire apologizing. I think
that's good. That's what he's got to do to be a Democrat. You can't win in the DNC without being willing to take a ton of money from the big the big critical players. You've got to take it from tech and you got to take it from the finance industry. And if you don't take it from those two, then you're Sanders and Warren. And those people cannot win. They're not allowed to win.
Well, you know what? That's true. Maybe they end up replacing Biden with Buttigieg.
And I'm not saying that people can't vote for them, but I'm saying that the entirety of our culture is influenced by the media, and the media is controlled by the money that runs the ads, right? And so if the entirety of our culture that runs the ads and is telling us who to vote for and what to think is totally dependent upon money, and all of the money will not go to Sanders or Warren, I mean, that's kind of how it happens.
It's almost as if there's a reason it's a two-party system.
No, there's no reason. It's just random coincidence.
Yeah, so anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens with this. I think Biden has to go at some point, or they may as well hang up their hat.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to leave, though. Do you think he's going to quit?
I don't know. I honestly, he's messed up so much. I could see them forcing him out.
You saw the thing about the leg hair, right? Maybe you didn't see
that. The leg hair. Yeah, no, I saw that where he made some comment about having blonde leg hair and
what was he talking about? Like just
the kids like to wash it. It was the weirdest thing.
I mean, I'm sure it was like a story he just mistold or missed, but he's got like that kind of stuff. You don't like we don't like the current president because he says a bunch of stupid stuff. And this guy is talking about his leg hair.
Someone made a cartoon out of it. Did you see that?
I saw it. Oh, man.
Yeah.
At least it's not mean-spirited. The dumb stuff he says is just weird.
Yeah, it's just really accidental, strange and makes me think, is he on some kind of medication that no one is giving him?
I mean, he's got to be on some kind of medication.
Yeah, so anyway, there's the latest in the Democratic 2020 presidential nomination. It'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. Let's move on to the impeachment update. Everyone's favorite time here on the show.
Yay.
All right. So the House Intelligence Committee voted on party lines today to send the report that was drafted up by the Democrats on up to the Judiciary Committee, where the Judiciary Committee will review it and then they will have to be up to them to draft articles of impeachment. The reason I say that the report the Democrats wrote, the Republicans also wrote a report. Both of the reports, it's almost as if there's two separate realities and each report tells its own.
There are two separate realities.
Yeah. So of course the Democratic report, says Trump did the quid pro quoing and everything's cut and dry. And I mean, it's 200 pages. And it of course makes the assertion that he did. I think it even says took a bribe. So the Republican version, of course, says
who took a bribe?
Trump tried to bribe Ukraine.
That's weird.
Well, they've been throwing around that term bribery now, I think, because it has more of a legal basis.
Hmm.
And so the Republican report, of course, writes that Donald Trump can do no wrong, has done no wrong, and will ever never do wrong. I thought here on the show, rather than getting into what we think about what or who might or might not be right or wrong, we would talk a little bit about what the process is from here. So now that the Senate or the House Judiciary Committee has the report, it'll be up to them to draft articles of impeachment from the report. They will then have to vote on those articles of impeachment. The Judiciary Committee is outweighed Democrats to Republicans, so there's pretty much no doubt how that vote will go. And from that point, it will go up to the actual House of Representatives, and they will have to vote to actually impeach the president or not. From there, if the president were to be impeached, it would go to the Senate, and Chief Justice Roberts would be responsible for trying the president in the Senate. I think the Democrats have really messed up here. And my analysis on this is they never should have been willing to ever let it get this far or ever said the words impeachment until they had 17-ish Republicans in the Senate begging them to do so. Because now they just send it to the Senate and they just say, oh, well, he's not guilty. And then Trump gets to use that to campaign on for a year.
Yeah, this is crazy, crazy, crazy. I don't want to blame AOC for everything, but this is mostly her fault. I mean, she and all the other, and the Democratic front runners, because a lot of those people on the stage were saying, why haven't we done impeachment yet? We need to impeach the president. Nancy Pelosi's not being a whatever, whatever, whatever. I mean, they pushed Pelosi to do this stuff. And there were a lot of Republicans, or a lot of the people on the right, at least, that were talking about at the time, that basically most people on the right don't think that Pelosi wanted to do this, but thought that she would lose her position of power if she didn't. And I mean, I think that's what happened, that AOC and the radical left and all the pressure we've gotten from the media, because the media, at least for half the country, the media is so one-sided that it seems like an impeachment would be a slam dunk, that they kept pushing, they kept pressuring until people felt it, people on the left, because you're right, it's alternate universes. And to people on the left, it's so obvious that Trump is just Hitler. He's just about to be Hitler at any moment. He's going to start rounding up the insert minority groups here. And for them, it seems so obvious that, well, as soon as you get the evidence out there, everyone will see how obviously corrupt he is. He's killing the kids in cages or something. And obviously that's not what happened. It was never what was going to happen, because we live in a totally incredibly divided time that we're not going to get. They have to get 2/3 majority of the Senate to agree to this, right? And I think you were saying that's why they needed at least, 17 Republicans.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to remember what the actual number is. But so there's one Republican who's about to retire in December in Georgia and is actually going to get replaced by a Democrat, by the Republican governor of Georgia, which honestly is blowing my mind. I have no idea why I haven't put this in the show. But have you heard about this?
What?
Yeah. So Brian Kemp is offering up an Atlanta businesswoman. I can't remember her name, but she is a Democrat to replace Isaacson, who's leaving the Senate in January or December because he's retiring. And Trump is saying, hey, don't do that. But then also Mitch McConnell is telling Brian Kemp that they have his backing to bring in this Democrat. It makes no sense. It's as if the world has gone bonkers.
What's the ostensible reason? Like, what are they saying the reason is? They're not even explaining it.
I guess they just really respect this person. I it doesn't make any sense to me. To me, we are living in a world where it doesn't matter how much you respect someone, they always go to party lines. So it's a team sports here.
What are we talking about?
It's kind of refreshing to see that is not happening. But I also feel like the Senate just feels like they have such a majority, it doesn't matter.
I mean, I like your idea of refreshing. Maybe I'm being overly negative.
Oh, no. I too feel like there's got to be some terrible reason that I'm not seeing here that would make me think that this is just an awful idea.
Like maybe she has something on him, or somebody does, or
she's a Manchurian candidate. I don't know.
Yeah. How far do we want to take it? All the way. Well, wow. That's really interesting. I guess it was really, really close in in Georgia. Is that true?
Yeah. So it was pretty close. The governor's race was Stacey Abrams. I think they had pegged her to win and she actually lost. So maybe this is a way to help ease some tension. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's a way to try to show that he's, you know.
I mean, that's an awful big give me.
Yeah, I mean, if that's really what's happening, if the first thing you said is true, he just thinks that she's a really great Democrat and isn't just always going to vote party line and it's going to, you know, be reasonable.
I think they can count on her not voting always party line. Also, they have to look at, you know, she's coming in midterm here, right? So she'll always have the chance to get voted out.
Yeah, so that, I mean, if that's all true, then that would be really great. And I would be feeling, I mean, really optimistic about that situation because that's what you want. You want people that are not all just going to do exactly what the party tells them to do, but are going to try to do the right thing regardless of what the party says. At least that's the kind of people that I prefer get elected. People that don't always go lockstep with the party, that try to actually, you know, understand what's going on.
The rumor mill coming out of the White House is that Kemp flew her up to meet Trump, and Trump gave Kemp a lot of grief over this. And Trump does not want this to happen, but McConnell has signed off on it, and that is going to happen. Now, it still is yet to happen, so it could not happen. And this is just pessimistic Zed here. I think this is not going to happen. But that's why I didn't put it in the show notes. But honestly, it is something it's worth talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I really would like to believe that he found somebody he thinks is a really great person who would do a really great job and is not just going to be an ideologue and is going to try to think about each thing as it happens and make a good decision.
I will say this.
Read the law.
I'll say this. If it happens, I will wake up for the first time with a little bit of hope in the system.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I mean,
time in a long time.
We can just assume that they're doing the right thing for the right reasons. And I'd like that. I'd like it.
Yeah. Yeah. That definitely would be nice. So I don't know, Red, what do you think? What do you think the play is here? Do you think, you know, we were talking before the show.
Impeachment?
Yeah, we were talking before the show about the censure. You know, they could end up doing a censure instead of an actual impeachment. I think if they do that at this point, that makes them look even weaker to me than if they just go ahead and vote for him to be impeached.
I don't think there's any non-weak thing they can do. I mean, it's their own fault. They opened the thing with no Republican votes. There are Republicans that hate Trump. There are some of them that if they would have done it the right way, if they would have tried to bridge across the aisle or whatever, I think there's at least one Trump-hating Republican that would have voted for this thing. But they didn't do that. And so by doing that, they made it entirely partisan. And even the people that really hate Trump that are Republican are never going to vote for this because it's entirely partisan from its genesis. I mean, they did it to themselves. I don't know. You got to think they knew this was going to happen. We all knew it was going to happen.
Well, I knew it. You were talking about earlier, Nancy Pelosi held off on this forever. It's because she's not an idiot, right? Nancy Pelosi's been in the game for a long time. Nancy Pelosi knows how Washington works. I can't believe they did it, but they did it.
Yeah. I mean, I believe they did it. I just can't believe they didn't at least get one Republican to sign on, like give some sort of a gimme to make just one. It doesn't even matter who it was. It could have been like some kind of super progressive Republican that is just confused about the letters.
Mitch McConnell would take them to a shed in Kentucky and beat them.
I mean, there's people that have, I mean, they go, there's, like I said, there's a handful of people on both teams that are not totally in the bag all the time. And I think they could have flipped one of these people, but I think they just weren't willing to give anything. They weren't willing to give up anything. And if you look at the way that impeachment process was worded, they didn't give up anything. And so none of the witnesses that the Republicans wanted to call, they could call. So it's not surprising. I like this censure thing. I think it's pretty funny. We'll see if we get a censure after the impeachment fails. So first off, do you think it will make it out of the House Judiciary Committee?
For sure. No doubt. Nobody that can wash their hands of this thing is not going to do that. So everyone in that Judiciary Committee is going to be able to say, hey, we sent it up. No one wants this to be their fault.
Yeah, definitely.
You don't want to be the Democrat that's got to be reelected that's responsible for not getting it out of the Judiciary Committee.
They're not going to get it to the Senate. So it's do you think the senators are actually even going to write the bill for the indictment?
Well, they have to try him. So they have to actually go through the process. So if the House, I guess if they didn't do that,
I think they might not do it. I think they might not complete the process to get it to the Senate.
See, I don't think so. Well, you're saying the House might not complete the process.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, they would have an awful hard time not doing it at this point.
Like they might, I think like they might vote for it and then just never bring the charges.
I don't see that happening. I think at that point, I think the Senate could force their hand on it.
This little line that says number four, charges are brought from the Senate, the little blue line that turns into red, I think that is where it's going to stop. I don't think it's going to make it to the Senate because it's going to be so obviously squashed.
I don't think so. I think if it makes it there, the Senate will want it to make it to the Senate. So I think it will. I think at that point, the Senate could put some sort of process in motion to say, essentially hold the House in contempt or something, because they would essentially not be doing their due diligence.
That they're supposed to write a bill of indictment, and I don't think they're going to do it.
It's the Senate that does that, though.
In little picture, it says the Senate writes the bill of indictment.
Right.
I don't think the Senate would write the bill of indictment.
Oh, yeah, they will. They'll make it fluffy. There is nothing that says what it has to be. It will just reference the House document and say, this is what we got. This is what it will be. And then they will vote saying, oh, yeah, look at all these terrible things he's not guilty of.
Well, I guess it depends who is supposed to write the bill of indictment. I was kind of assuming it was one of those like the Judiciary Committee or something like that. And those I think in the Senate, most of those, I know the Judiciary Committee is, they're all Republicans. So my guess, we'll see. I mean,
I think even if they're Republicans, they'll write it because they want, at that point, they will want to have it voted on so that they can say he's not guilty. And then
he's exonerated.
That's what Trump will say. Trump will spend the next year claiming that he's exonerated, even though that's impossible.
Right. And then the Democrats will spend the next year explaining how he's not exonerated.
They will spend the next year sobbing into their hands.
That's going to happen. I think there's going to be little that could possibly change that. I think that they're all so depressed. I think they're all going to be so depressed that they're not going to vote. I think after this impeachment thing, they're going to be so depressed. They're going to be so disappointed. And when Sanders or Warren or even Buttigieg doesn't get to be the nominee, they're all going to be so disenfranchised and so angry that they're going to vote for the Green Party, maybe, or some kind of socialist party. I bet you, this is my guarantee, there is going to be a communist or socialist, super far left, Antifa type party that's going to get way more votes this election than has ever gotten any votes if the nominee is a white, rich male.
I don't know. I don't see that happening. I could be wrong. I can tell you this, though. After this whole impeachment thing plays out, whatever the first antidepressant drug you see on a television commercial, just go invest a bunch of stock in that company. Just buy a bunch of stock because it's a winner.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's a yeah. Well, there you go.
All right. Well, let's round this out with our least favorite topic, Epstein Watch. So if you do not like hearing the Epstein Watch updates, feel free to turn off now. For those of you who are as disgusted and have an iron stomach like Red and I, so the latest on the Epstein issue, there's been another lawsuit filed. There's been 9 more Epstein accusers that have come forward, with one saying that the abuse started in 1985 when she was just 13. So I think that it's interesting that there are still lawsuits being filed. I guess it's against his estate. There's still people coming out of the woodwork on this. I mean, there's no one to shut them up now. I don't think anybody is going to try and silence them now that he's dead. No one's certainly going to buy them off. Who would be vested in buying them off at this point?
Who would be vested in buying them off? I guess it depends if the estate has any incriminating evidence. And my guess is they don't. So if the estate has no incriminating evidence and all we have are claims by alleged victims, then there'd be no reason at all.
It's a lawsuit that was filed. All 9 of them were supposedly part of the same. I don't know what to call this.
Like they were all connected. They were all friends.
I don't know that they were friends. They were all part of the same
ring.
Yeah, I guess that's what you would call this. It's like a 45-page document. I certainly didn't read all of it, but they are listed as Jane Doe 1 through 9 in it. And it's all part of the same story, I guess, is what I would say.
Okay. Well, hey, yeah, then I'm down. I get worried when I have a bunch of individuals that come forward with, you know, similar stories to things that have already come forward. I mean, maybe even when that happens, I'm just overly cynical and everyone's telling the truth. But this sounds specifically more credible in that they're all together, because I think it would be more difficult to get that many people to lie about something.
Yeah,
it'd be hard to get much advantage out of it.
5 of them were over 18. So, I mean, you know, that's step up in Epstein's world.
What? So what are they claiming?
Well, they're claiming they were
slaves?
Coerced or, yeah, used. It's the same story as these others. They were prostituted, essentially.
Ugh.
Yeah, so. All right, then the last bit of Epstein news, and take this with a grain of salt. We have no evidence for this other than there's this guy that's saying this. The only reason I'm even entertaining this as something that I think we would do on the show, we talked about it earlier, and this reminds us of the Franklin Credit Union scandal, which, if you don't know what that is, we're not going to go into it now, but the quick version is allegations and eventual proof that there was a deeply connected ring. This guy named Larry King, it's not the Larry King from CNN that you know, that trafficked kids to politicians in order to get dirt on them. so that he could use that dirt to make them do whatever it was that him or his handlers want. So now we have this guy who is saying that he was Ghislaine Maxwell's father's handler. He's a Mossad agent. And that he also introduced Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell into this. We're going to collect dirt on powerful individuals and politicians
just for some clarity, Mossad is like an intelligence agency of one of the other countries.
Is Israeli CIA is what the Mossad is, if you don't know.
Right.
So the idea is that the Mossad and the CIA used assets, is what they call them, like Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, to target high-profile political individuals or other high-profile targets, Prince Andrew, for instance, to get dirt on them so that in case they ever need it, it's like scumbag insurance.
Yeah. I mean, there's some good quotes in here. But I mean, basically what you said is true. It's basically the quote is, I don't really want to read it. So doing those things is illegal. And the quote is, they, Epstein and Maxwell, would just blackmail people. They would just blackmail people like that. And it's important to remember that Maxwell is not in jail. She's just walking around.
And we don't know where she is. Nope. Her whereabouts are unknown.
Yep.
So that's great. Remember the whole, there was a picture of her at an In-N-Out Burger in California?
Yep. That seemed pretty weird.
That turned out to be a Photoshop.
Did it really?
It did.
Well, that makes sense. And that was a very credible Photoshop, right? And lots of people ran with it. This is more credible because the guy, I guess, who made these claims was a Ben Menashe, a mysterious Iranian-born Israeli businessman who claims to have worked for Mossad from 1977 to 1987, and he was arrested in 1989 in the U.S. on arms dealing charges, but was acquitted in 1990 after a jury accepted that he was acting on behalf of Israel. Then Israel tried to distance themselves from him with government sources saying he had never had anything to do with intelligence services, although news reports both in the U.S. and Israel confirmed that he did. He later wrote a book called Prophets of War, Inside the U.S.-Israeli Arms Network, and claimed that Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine's dad, worked for Mossad. So, I mean, this is, as far as I can tell, this is as credible as you can get.
Yeah, it's as credible as you can get from an ex-Mossad agent.
Right, because there's no way that the government agency is ever going to come out and say, yep, yeah, he worked for us. He was an agent of us. He went around doing illegal things. So...
Yeah,
I don't know.
And the thing is, the Mossad is like the cream of the crop when it comes to these things, too. Like when these billionaires and, millionaires, these really rich and powerful guys leave the country and they want to go overseas and do tours or whatever, when they hire security, if they want to get the best of the best, it's ex-Mossad guys. That's who they get.
Yeah, well, you would think it. I mean, it makes sense. Right. Because Israel is surrounded by countries that are basically constantly, almost always at war with Israel. So it's not like America where everything's basically fine and we have to send people to different countries to fight in wars. In Israel, it's literally wars at their front door every day. So you think that. I mean, these people they're battle hardened. Tons and tons of just the normal Israeli people go through the army. Is it like conscripted service there?
It is, yeah. Everybody has to serve 2 years.
So you got to think, it's kind of like Sparta in that everyone serves for 2 years. And so their cream of the crop is not the cream of the volunteer military like the United States. Their cream of the crop is everyone in the country. They check, they basically see everyone in the country, and then they see who's the best of those people, and they get the best of those people, et cetera, et cetera.
And if you've heard of Krav Maga, the martial arts style of combat, that was invented by the Mossad.
Boom. Krav Maga.
All right.
Look at all these factoids.
Yeah, you're getting all of the bits and pieces on the Daily Circus this time. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this one. You can get us on Twitter at Daily Circus Pod. You can find me on Twitter at RealZed. That's R-E-E-L-Z-E-D. If you love the show, please go over to Patreon, drop us $1 a month, and let us know that you want to hear more of what we're doing. We've got some special plans in store for the holiday. More to come on that, but we're going to be releasing an episode a day during the week of Christmas. We've got some special stuff lined up, so stay tuned for that. And, you know, even if you can't support the show monetarily, you can always go over to the iTunes store, or if you have an iOS or Apple device, that's the little purple icon that says podcasts. Search for the Daily Circus, leave us a 5-star rating. That also goes a long way to help out. Red, when you are not busy being relocated from New York City to New Jersey, where can the fine folks tweet you at?
Well, you can't tweet me anywhere because I'm being relocated. I'm trapped in one of those derelict subway cars. But if you do have a Twitter, you can always leave me a message at RedTDC.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. And we will see you next time on The Daily Circus.